We are in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 12. It's interesting to me that when we look at these stories from the Old Testament, people in a whole lot different time. Obviously, technology is so much different. The modern conveniences that we have, they would not have had, although they may have had stuff we don't have. But the character of people and the way they view life and the troubles they face typically are the same, just in, I mean, different way, but it's typically the same. 2 Kings 22, verse 12. Then the king, this is Josiah, commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the king's servant, saying, "Go inquire of the Lord for me and the people and all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us because of our fathers, because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us." So Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, Asaiah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Horace, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke to her. She said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I bring evil on this place and on its inhabitants, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore, my wrath burns against this place, and it shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, regarding the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I truly have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes will not see all the evil which I bring on this place." So they brought back word to the king. Let's pray. Lord, we live in a time when many believe they can alter reality merely by imagining a different outcome. And it's crazy at all times, and yet, Lord, it is very prominent today. And yet, Lord, we see even from this story with Josiah and Jerusalem that we cannot ignore your law and gain from it or avoid punishment. And I pray, Lord, that we would always have that in our understanding and fear of the Lord, that we'd see you as you are and we as we are, and that we'd walk in the fear of the Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our world has developed a cultish practice. A cultish thing is like someone gives you a belief that's out of the mainstream, you know, a cult. Cults are used to consider something that is akin to some belief that's true, but it's off. And it is met with a devotion from people, really fervent devotion that people have toward a cultish practice that is off center somehow, off the truth. And yet they embrace it wholeheartedly. Cults are peopled by adherents who believe strongly in their cause and go forth boldly, saying things that just are not true. And we all like to feel good and not have any worrisome issues or burdens upon us. We want to believe that all will be well with us and right with our world. And people like that. That's why the Bible says that times will come when people will gather to them preachers who will just, tickle their ears instead of telling the truth, because people just want to hear what they want to hear, not the truth. And we want our loved ones to be good. No one wants their loved ones to be seen as condemned by God or heading for hell or judgment. And men have this even in our pride. Men like to think they're irresistible to women for, I mean, until they're 180 years old, whether they are or not. And I believe in having an overall optimistic outlook. We don't have to drag ourselves into the dump all the time and be brooding and low and downcast. It's a whole different level of lunacy to do what our nation does today, trying to make what we feel like or what we want to be true, to make that true when it can't be done. The world calls abortion health care. There's no health care to it. It's killing babies. But the spin is it's health care. You change genders, transgendering kids even, that's considered health care too. People are going to lose their lives, we're told, if you don't let them change into another gender. But you can't change genders. Men are not women. Women are not men. Men can't have babies. Men can't go through the monthly cycles women go through. They don't have the same parts. Men aren't supposed to be in women's sports, not to be fair. Men don't belong in dressing rooms with little girls. Yet our world keeps imagining, oh, that's normal, that's proper, that's right. You can't change your gender by imagination. There used to be a TV show on My Favorite Martian way back. I think it was in black and white. Of course, we had a black and white TV, so everything was. My Favorite Martian. He grew antenna out of his head. They would just rise up there and he could perceive things. Can we do that and become a Martian? Put antenna on our heads. Become a Martian. In our day, it's seemed to be possible. If you want it to be. And people get so mad if you tell them the truth. You tell some man he can't have a baby, oh, they have a fit. But you know why? They can't have a baby. People are afraid of misgendering people. Oh, they're so sorry. I didn't mean to call you a guy with a beard. I didn't mean to call you a man, ma'am. It's just crazy. People are, on the defensive all the time. People demanding to be called the wrong pronoun. And this is not just a feeling thing. This isn't just I wish. It is that. But it's not just that. It's a rebellion against God. It's rebellion against the design of God. God made you a man, you're a man. God made you a woman, you're a woman. God set up all these things to work the way they do. That's the way they work. And people are so in rebellion against God, they can't even accept the gender God gave them. These are evil people, not just ignorant. They're evil. They're pushing an ideology, a biological framework. That is wrong. And they're warping children in school because they want to feel good about themselves. So, as this world is overtaken with madness, as it has been in this country especially, what is the duty of each citizen regarding living in truth? I mean, everybody around us, we're seeing an increasing amount. It's not the majority that the transgender people want us to believe. But so many who are not transgender, so many who are normal people, they're bowing down to it. And children are being groomed in school. Adults are increasingly, shying away from calling a man, a woman, a woman. People post their pronouns. I'm supposed to call a man a she. Or something else. People want affirmation more than reality. In the midst of such an environment, are we responsible to follow in the truth? Well, let's bring this situation to Jerusalem here in this day, in Josiah's day. And remember, the nation was ignorant of God's law. Manasseh had forsaken the Lord. He had repented, come back some, but he'd gone so far he couldn't really change anything. His son was the same way. And they did not have an active relationship, it would seem, with the instructions God had given to the nation with Moses, that they were to live a certain way, they were to sacrifice, they were to do this in the temple. These were the things that they had to do in order to stay the wrath of God from them. And they found the book of the law in the house of the Lord when Josiah, who began, I think it was the 12th year of his reign, to clean things up. And they found the book. And they found that the proper worship of God had been neglected, that the temple had been polluted with idols. And we're not told what part of the law was read to Josiah, but the part that seems to be read, or the one he is most notably affected by, was that which talked about the judgment of God if they forsook the Lord and worshiped idols. Because between the last two kings, there were 57 years where idols were prominent. Even with Manasseh turning, we're not sure when he did, they were everywhere. So far around that it took Josiah several years to clean them all up. We're not to that part yet. We'll look at that later, Lord willing. They had been pagan, nurtured in false gods. False gods, idols were put in the temple. So the temple was no longer associated primarily or solely with the Lord, but it was just with other idols. So the people were ignorant of the law. They just didn't focus on it. I don't know that every person in Jerusalem was ignorant of everything about God, but the environment of Jerusalem was very pagan, led by the kings that preceded, and many were evil, some were good. But once Josiah hears the law and tears his clothes because he's in mourning over the promise of judgment from God, he accepted the law. He accepted the word. A lot of people today, they hear these judgments, they say, well, that's not God. God would never say stuff like that. Not Josiah. Josiah understood it was the word of the Lord, and he responded appropriately to it. He was in mourning, feared for his nation. But at this point, some people are going to be sneaky about it, because they're going to think, wait a minute now, he didn't know. Jerusalem didn't know. They didn't realize that they were supposed to keep the law. They didn't have the law before them. The law was in the temple, and it was just found when they cleaned it up. So they have an ace in the hole, something to play at the judgment. When the Lord says, you did not keep my law, they can say, well, we were ignorant of it. We didn't know about it. It was hidden in the temple. We didn't know. We just didn't know. How can we be in trouble with God if we didn't know? God's not going to hold us accountable to a book we didn't know about, we didn't have an active relationship with. If that were true, really, nobody would ever be judged, because it'd be better to not know God. You wouldn't take the gospel to anybody, you just leave them like they were, because it'd be better that they not know God than if they didn't know God, they wouldn't be judged. But that's a common mistake. It's common by religious people. It's common by irreligious people to believe that ignorance excuses you from the commands of God. Some believe we're we're able to keep the law to some degree or to all the degree, because, we didn't sin in the garden. Adam and Eve did. And then we all got a fresh start. And so we weren't totally corrupt. We didn't die like Adam and Eve were said that they would die. And so we have something in us. Of course, that's not biblical at all. We're all in sin from the very beginning, from the garden. We don't get to start over once God has made his commands. The larger problem is how people consider ignorance to be bliss with God. If I just don't know, if you're in school and the teacher gives an assignment and you didn't know about it, you were out that day, or you have some reason, you just didn't know, teacher, I did not know. When did you give that assignment? I didn't know. If you really didn't know, she would have to relent from it, or he. So, okay, I get it. You weren't in class. I didn't realize it. We didn't get the message to you, so, you can do it now. Josiah, once he saw this book, once he heard it, he did not seek to dismiss it or just overlook it because it had been hidden for so long. He sought immediately to find out what God thought of them now that he had read this from before. Go inquire, verse 13, of the Lord for me and the people and all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us, because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. That is such a refreshing attitude, really. He didn't doubt the book. He didn't dismiss the book. He didn't say, well, we'll get around to starting that now that we know about it. He was concerned because the book had said, if you do not do this, very simply, if you do not do this, then these judgments will come. They had not done that, and so now he wants to know where they stand. Because he says it not like he wonders if they're going to be judged. He says, great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us. Because God had already said it, and he believed it. And so they sent to Huldah, the prophetess. Now, we don't know anything about her except in this particular occasion. There are other more prominent prophets that were ministering at this time. Zephaniah, Jeremiah, but they most likely weren't in Jerusalem to be consulted. Huldah was gifted as a prophetess. She would deliver the word of the Lord to them. And so they pursued her. No excuses, no waiting around, no saying, well, Jeremiah's not around, we'll just wait. Right straight to hold of the prophetess to find out what the Lord says. And so they wanted to make sure that their circumstances could be faced in reality. So she informed Josiah, verse 15. She said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I bring evil on this place and all its inhabitants, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me, have burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore my wrath burns against this place, and it shall not be quenched. We all know that God is not like man. Men forget their wrath. You know, the terrorist bombed the Twin Towers and all that on, September 11th. Boy, we were mad about that. About a month or two later, we weren't as mad anymore. Same violation, same sin, same radical Islamic terrorism. But, oh, well, we let up on it. God does terrible, terrible, terrible crimes. And people are mad. And then, later on, they're offered leniency. Well, the Lord is not the same way. The Lord still has wrath, building wrath against Jerusalem and Judah, because ignorant or not, they did not follow the law of God. Now, the natural man thinks the word of God is a lot like bread and milk. When you make bread and you have milk fresh, well, then it's edible and you can drink it. It's sweet, it's good. But over time, the bread becomes moldy and the milk becomes sour, and so you can't take it anymore. So you just throw it away. And so many people think the word of God over time becomes sour and not applicable to modern times. That's an old book. I mean, you've probably heard people say, well, that's an old book. If it's an old book, like if you found an old book that says if you jump out of the top of the tree, you'll probably break your leg. Well, 100 years later, if you looked at it and said, yeah, okay, I get that, but that's an old book. And if you jumped out of the tree, you wouldn't break your leg. The Lord brings eternal truths to us through his word. And so, but the world thinks, well, it's an old book. It's not really valid. We need something fresh and new. We need a new interpretation of the will of God, and then we can follow that. Josiah did not see it that way, and neither did Huldah report it that way, and neither did God declare it to be that way. Because he said, they have done these things. They have angered me. They have stirred me up. They have caused me to my wrath to burn against this place, and it shall not be quenched. God just doesn't go away. God doesn't say, well, I hated that, 100 years ago, but now it's not bad. Even saints fall into this sometime, at least professing saints, like the roles of women. Oh, well, that was old time. That was back in the days when women were looked upon differently. Well, what is that? Saying the Bible that gives principles based upon creation that it's now different because, well, we live in modern times. Even professing saints do that. Wrongly, but they do it. And there are certainly aspects of the Bible that are not for us today. We're told about those things. The ceremonial law is passed. That's all been fulfilled in Christ. We don't burn incense in the temple anymore. We don't, sacrifice animals. And the feast days are no longer incumbent upon us. What God reveals is his will is always his will, his principles of the law, his standards, based on who he is, that cannot ever change. So the Ten Commandments are still the Ten Commandments. The moral law is still the moral law. And so she sends back two messages to Josiah. Verse 18, to the king of, the first one is verse 15, tell the man who sent you to me that I'm going to bring on this place, on its inhabitants, all the words of this book which the king of Judah has read. So the wrath of God is going to be poured out on Jerusalem because of the words in the book. The fact that they did not go back and check that book over the years has not ended the threat of wrath. The second message, first message is to Jerusalem, the nation of Judah. The second message is to Josiah. You'll see that in verse 18. But to the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him. This is a different message. Josiah asked and is told, first of all, what is our position before the Lord as a nation? Where is the nation of Judah? Where is the city of Jerusalem now, since we have forsaken the Lord in this way? And the Lord's first answer through Huldah is, you're going to be wiped out. Evil is going to be brought on the inhabitants of this place. And we'll note in the next chapter that in spite of that, Josiah did what he should have done and what was pleasing to the Lord. He sought to reform the city. But Lord willing, we'll get to that at a later time. But the city itself would be judged. And then in the second part, what about Josiah? The Lord has a special word to Josiah in verse 18. To the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, regarding the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard what I spoke against this place and against this inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me. I truly have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers. You'll be gathered to your grave in peace. Your eyes will not see all the evil which I will bring on this place. So they brought word back to the king. Josiah would have mercy in that he would not live to the day when the things that were promised in the book were brought against the city because of their wickedness. And note that this mercy is not because of ignorance. The Lord didn't say because you didn't know, but because you were humble when you found out. Because you took the responsibility that you had sinned and you mourned it, you tore your clothes, you wept before the Lord. Because of that, the Lord would take him to his grave without seeing those things. In the Lord's mercy for Josiah, because Josiah responded properly. If he'd have said, "Well, Lord, we're not really shouldn't be held responsible for that because it's so old and we didn't know about it," he would not have received the same commendation because he was humble. Humility just gets sinners out of a whole lot of trouble. We just admit, the world has a terrible time admitting. I mean, confession of sin is the first thing we come in repentance before God. We have to say, "Yes, Lord, we are sinners." Not that we're just not that bad or better than others. Josiah wept, mourned, believed in the word of God. And the Lord mercifully, we'll look at that again, as I say again, another time. But the Lord would take him from the world before that came about. The world persists in seeing God as an optional relationship. If they don't personally choose to follow God, they figure they're exempt from anything God would do to people who do choose to follow him and don't do it. They admit that maybe they're missing out. Maybe they're missing out on some things that they would get if they serve the Lord, but they seem willing to do that because the things that they're getting without serving the Lord are worth it to them. But if they don't personally choose to follow the Lord, they don't believe that they're bound to the Lord's laws. I mean, if you want to be a Muslim, you're binding yourself to the laws of Muhammad. If you want to be a Buddhist, you bind yourself to the teachings of Buddha. If you want to be a Christian, well, you bind yourself to the laws of God in the Bible. And they believe it's an optional relationship. And it's a personal choice. And so if you choose another God, you follow that God. You got different toothpaste. You take Colgate or Crest or whatever else is out there today. I mean, it's just toothpaste. You do whatever you want. It's not right or wrong. You just follow the one you want to follow, use the one you want to use, and it's on you. If one other toothpaste is better and keeps you from having cavities and you don't use that, well, that's the price you pay for whatever reason you chose the other. The world believes all the gods, all the religions provide the same thing, which generally is to be psychological in nature. If you choose a god, it's like, well, it helps your psyche. It's not about an actual person or an actual relationship or actual redemption. I choose this way to live and serve my God, and it's supposed to be accepted, and we're supposed to laud it and honor it, and it's done pretty much in the world except for Christianity. But you can't imagine that into reality. You can't pretend it doesn't matter and make it not matter. Choosing not to follow the Lord places responsibility on every single person rejecting God's law and sovereignty. We choose or don't choose. Every person is responsible to the Lord. If we don't follow, we're still responsible. If we do follow, we're still responsible. We can't negate it. When I was moved to Minnesota after graduation, until Cindy got married, 83, and then moved back down here south in 84. And I had my Volkswagen up there. I had my dad gave me back when I was a freshman in college, and I took it to Minnesota. And I was there for a while, and I had a North Carolina plate. And the time came, I had to renew it. And I said, well, I'm going to get penalized because I've waited for several months since I moved up here. And I think the law said you had to do it within, 30 days or 60 days or something like that. So I went to the DMV and I said, here's my car. What do I owe for the registration? Well, I'd just gotten the title from my parents. They had signed it over to me. So as far as the state of Minnesota was concerned, I just got there with it because it wasn't my car until they gave me the title. So I didn't get any penalty at all. My duty to the state of Minnesota began only after I'd severed my relationship with North Carolina, as far as my car was concerned. So I was clear. People think of gods this way. Gods of the hills, gods of the valleys, gods of the mountains. Baal was a god of fertility in the land of Canaan. It's like having different doctors with different specialties. And this is the way people think of God. And yet there's only one God and only one law and only one way to be right with God. So our duty to God is not dependent on us. So when Josiah found out this about this book, people couldn't say, well, I wasn't in relationship with God during that time. Yeah, you were, because God made you. Everybody made by God will be judged by God. Everybody made by God is answerable to God. God made every person that he made to glorify God. So although Jerusalem lived in ignorance, as our own nation does, they had revelation from God in the natural sense, but they also had special revelation more than any nation on earth, and they should have known the law of God. They should have kept it before their eyes. They didn't know the space shuttle was defective twice. And both times, ignorance was not bliss. It blew up both times. It blew up going up and it blew up coming back one time. Because not knowing didn't help the situation. And it suffered the consequences of what you would naturally expect. Ignorance is not bliss. I noted back in August of 2017 in the bulletin, the day before the eclipse, solar eclipse that occurred, and I noted that in history, people interpreted an eclipse differently. In 840 AD, a Roman emperor was so distressed by a solar eclipse that he stopped eating and starved to death, thinking it was some portent of disaster. The ancient Greeks believed a hungry wolf was feasting on the sun. And many cultures believed a demon or a wild animal was doing that. It was felt by some that banging on pots and playing loud drums or yelling at the eclipse would scare the monster away and save the sun. Some cultures sacrificed humans to ward off the evil, killed their own people because of a solar eclipse. The ancient Chinese fired arrows at the sun to scare off what was eating it. You see, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is very damaging. The Lord says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." God told Israel through Hosea. Ignorance is not bliss. Knowledge of the truth is. And you can't imagine your way out of falsehood into truth. You can't turn it like our world's trying to do and just deluding themselves in it. And so when Josiah found the book, he knew it was valid and the Lord had to be appeased as the Lord prescribed. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your mercy to us. None of us would be able to live without your mercy. Because of your mercy, Lord, we are able to have peace with you that we cannot have without your mercy. And I pray, Lord, that we would, as we see your word, be always attentive to the fact that it is the truth. That although the world does not see it that way, they cannot imagine themselves out of it and make it other than it is. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Me unmute if you'd like. Welcome, Mike and Sandra.
All right. A lot of inspiring words there, Scott. But Josiah was, I wonder how long he actually put up with all that worshiping of idols and all, and then they found the book, which I, the Lord's word, and then
he was about 16 years old, I think, before he started doing anything. Because, you know, he was 8 when he started. But Mike and I might need a load of wood over here.
All right. Got bad cold smell coming.
It's getting a chilly spot coming in.
Need to build fire. Build that big fire, Mike.
Well, I should have got it for a minute, but we won't be out.
You have to charge double for a load of wood this time of year. It's too hot to get it together.
I'm going to tell you, it's warm out there messing with it.
It looks like it's about to rain in Orangeburg.
I didn't mess with any at all.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing I never could do when I was doing wood, is you have to start it. I mean, for me, I had to start it in the summertime, you know, to get it together. And that's just, I don't think I had a sharp implement on the whole place to cut with or to split with. So it was just too hot.
They must be doing some logging down here around the house. I've seen a bunch of logging trucks pull in down here today.
When are you going to?
I don't know. I didn't want to follow them. I gas is so high. I said, well, you know. But
Dude, come on now.
But they cutting. They got to be cutting some of these pines. Reckon over there on the Guthrie place or something. I don't know.
I heard Robin say he heard chainsaw was running yesterday. He said he couldn't figure out where it was at. And I see ribbons at beginning of Bannon Street. So I know they're going in on Bannon Street, but Are they going on by your house?
They're going by our house. So, yeah.
Well, I don't know why they would turn and go all the way around Bannon Street instead of turning down that Marion Truitt's.
Unless they're going over to the Proctor's back by the chicken house.
That still, I would go in from the other way.
Yeah, that would.
Not have to go by all them houses.
There are plenty of places out there where you'd have a bunch of wood you could cut in there.
Yeah, I don't wear it yet.
I don't either.
Well, it's good they're cutting wood before this cold snap comes through.
Yeah.
I can tell from the scene behind you, Scott, that we in for it.
Yeah, that's right there behind me, the snow on the mountain. I'll tell you one place I would be going when I got snow on that mountain. You can drive up on Melrose. We can drive up on both of them. I wouldn't be doing that.
I'll tell you, it was a shocker to me when we went to Mount St. Helen and we left that bottom that day, and it was about 65, 70 degrees. We all had on shorts and t-shirts. When we got up to the top of the mountain, it was snowing and sleeting. Yeah. Wind was blowing. Ice everywhere. It was quite a change in a short time.
Did they not warn you that would be the case?
Well, we didn't ask anybody anything.
Yeah.
Dwayne Hogue just decided, he said, let's go up to the mountain and see how far up there we can go.
Yeah. Well, even in North Carolina, you know, you go up to Mount Mitchell, it'll be 30 degrees cooler than Asheville. If you go in the fall to Mount Mitchell, it'd be quite chilly when you get up there.
Yeah, before we left, we went over to Mount Rainier.
Yeah.
And went up on it. There was snow skiing up there on top of it.
Yeah.
And this was in June.
I love mountains because I grew up among them. But I don't care to ski on top of one.
No, that's one adventure I missed out on, was snow skiing.
Yeah, I don't. Cindy's water skied and snow skied cross country. I don't know if you've done downhill or not, babe. Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But. For us to ski in North Carolina, you didn't ski around Tryon or Hendersonville. You went up, like, where the places we went with the youth one time. You went up to, Banner Elk or Grandfather Mountain or somewhere way up. They'd make snow up there. But I never was interested in that, so I never went for that.
Well, I'm in low battery mode right now, so I'm going to have to leave y'all.
All right, y'all.
I enjoyed it.
We'll call it a night then. If the life of the party's leaving, David, why would we stay behind?
Listen, we'll do the Mother's Day route and see y'all everybody Sunday.
All right.
Good Lord willing.
Okay.
All right.
Have a good rest of the week. Good night.
Good night.